Good morning. May it please the court. Chris Gibson on behalf of Mr. Cheng Siphon. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Proceed.
We're asking this court to reverse Mr. Siphon's drug possession conviction and order the drugs upon which it was based suppressed because they were obtained in violation of Mr. Siphon's privacy rights.
Can I ask kind of a question that puzzles me because neither of you brief it? My understanding is that the woman who made the call to 911 was a resident of the house. Why didn't her call and her invitation to the officers to apprehend Siphon end the question of whether or not entry to the house was authorized and lawful?
In terms of consent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I looked at that question yesterday and this morning, and we don't have a record in this case to show that Faye Siphon actually consented to them entering the house. She certainly called and said, look, my brother's come back from Harborview. He's acting crazy again, and I'm scared. But we don't have anywhere in the record where we have either of the officers testifying that Faye said, yes, please go in and get him, or even an implied consent. And to the extent that, I mean, we also don't have any of the record made, and it's the state's burden to prove that they have a basis to go in without a warrant. There's nothing in the record to say that the basement wasn't Cheng Siphon's sole area. That was his special area, which she could not have given consent to enter into. She could give consent to her area of the house and to the common areas, but not necessarily to Cheng's area. And if the entire basement was his, there's no consent there, and we don't have the record.
So you're saying that it's just a matter of the record?
It's a matter of the record, not supporting that finding. What the trial court initially ruled was there's probable cause to arrest him. I think we all know here that that's not sufficient to go into the private home. Private home gets the most protection under the constitutional privacy rights. And only if there is an applicable exception, either a warrant or an applicable exception, is it lawful for law enforcement to enter a private home. Here, obviously, the probable cause doesn't support the entry. In its late-filed findings and conclusions, the trial court said, yes, the emergency aid exception applies in this case. And that was what the state was trying to rely on at the suppression hearing. Unfortunately, they failed to make a record to show that, in fact, what motivated the officers to go into the house was concern that for somebody in there needing immediate help of some kind. Presumably medical help or some protection. That wasn't what they said. In fact, if you look at the late written findings, what the trial court found was that the officer decided they needed to take him into custody. They needed to arrest him. That was the motivation. That's the unchallenged finding of fact in the late filed findings, was that their entire motivation was to go in and arrest him. And if you look at what they did under the totality of the circumstances, under whether you're looking at the exigent circumstances exception or the emergency aid exception, partially the same thing. I think, clear from the record, the motivation was we're going to go in and arrest this guy because Faye is scared of him because of the way he was acting the day before, and he's certainly making threatening comments. But you don't have any of the indicia that that's what the officers actually subjectively thought they needed to do. They never run around and check anybody else in the house to see if they were okay. The only person who had called and said he's threatening to kill me and my unborn child was Faye Siphon, who was outside the home at the time. It's possible that the state could have made the record it needed to make this a valid entry into the home. And the problem here is they didn't do that. They simply threw out the emergency aid exception, which wasn't actually accepted by the court in its oral ruling. Simply saying, clearly the court didn't understand the law going into this, and the prosecutors drafted findings that, in fact, now this is the emergency aid exception we're talking about, which it was relying upon.
Those findings are unchallenged.
They're unchallenged, but I think they support.
Late or not,
they're unchallenged because they support Mr. Siphon's position, which is that the reason they went in to the house was not to provide aid to anybody, or for fear that he was going to flee or flush evidence down the toilet or anything like that. The sole reason they went in was to take him into custody, not to provide aid. And when that is the sole basis, when the primary objective is a criminal arrest or criminal investigation, neither of those exceptions apply. And ask this court reverse. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Stephanie Guthrie, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for King County, and I represent the state of Washington in this case. We ask the court to affirm the trial court's ruling on the grounds that the warrantless entry into the home was justified under both the emergency aid exception and the exigent circumstances exception. Because here we had a situation where someone was calling for help based on a threat to kill by a family member who was still in the home with other family members, who was known to carry knives, who was mentally unstable and on drugs. And under those circumstances, the officers had a subjective belief that the safety of others in the home was in danger. That belief was reasonable under the circumstances, and they had every reason to believe that Mr. Safon was, in fact, in the basement.
So what in the record establishes that he was not in a separate residency in the building? I mean, you say it's their home, but do we have a record that they're all living in the same home and there's free access in between?
We have a record.
We even have a record that they're still in the house.
Yes. We have a record that as of very shortly before the officer's arrival, dispatch told the officers relaying the victim's call that there were five people still in the home and that Safon was still in the basement. And Officer Bessler knew from his prior contacts that the parents and other siblings did live in the home, and dispatch confirmed that they were physically present in the home at that time. Our record reflects that the officers could not establish that Safon did not have access to other parts of the home. As far as they knew, he could have access to other parts of the home where the other family members were. We have no record, unfortunately, as to whether the basement was his particular area or not. The record is simply silent on that point. But that fact is not relevant to whether the emergency aid exception or the exigent circumstances exception applied. That would, of course, be relevant to a consent issue. But unfortunately, the record is silent as to...
Did the officers actually check on the welfare of any of the other residents?
The record, unfortunately, is silent on that fact. As to what happened after Safon was removed from the home, Officer Bessler testified at one point that Safon was removed, and his terminology was not precise as to when exactly arrest occurred, but at one point he clarified that he was cuffed and then that arrest happened once the investigation was complete. And unfortunately, the record does not reflect what exactly that entailed, who else, if anyone, was spoken to. And so unfortunately, our record is silent as to whether they contacted the other people in the home. But even if they hadn't, I mean, the issue is their need and intent to make the home safe. And the fastest, most efficient way to do that is to contact and get under control the one person who posed the threat to the remaining members of the family and the one person whose location they knew. They didn't know where in the house anyone else might be other than that they were in the house, but they did know both through dispatch and through Fei Se Fong when they arrived, she pointed them to the basement and that's where he was. So they took the most efficient, expeditious route to render the house safe.
Was there anything in the record that other persons, other than the caller, were endangered by Mr. Safon?
We have a record that the officers feared that they were in danger, that they feared for their safety. There is not a record of any specific threats to other family members at the time. We do have testimony by Officer Bessler that he had prior interactions with the family in which the defendant had behaved aggressively towards the father during a prior arrest for violating a no-contact order protecting the father. And we have Officer Bessler's testimony about the day before where the family had reported that Mr. Safon had been waving a knife in the air and stabbing a knife in the ground. And we have, on this particular day, the report of a threat to kill Fei Safon and her unborn child. So given all of that, it was eminently reasonable for the officers to fear that other members of the family were in danger. For them to just say, Fei Safon is out of the house, therefore we have no reason to be concerned, would be irresponsible. When you have a mentally unstable person who the previous day had a knife, easily could have a knife again, and is in a house where they cannot see him with other family members that they cannot see, and where there's a history of domestic violence in the family leading to no contact orders, it was completely reasonable for them to fear for the safety of the other family members and to take the very limited action that they did, which was simply to go in.
I have a question about the law. Is there a distinction, and if so, what is it, between the exigent circumstances exception and the emergency aid exception? In other words, are there cases in which one of them would apply but the other one would not?
Yes, I think so. The case law, obviously, many of the cases conflate the two and confuse the two, but some cases do distinguish between them, State versus Muir being one of them. And there we see that emergency aid exception is understood to be a concern for health or safety, primarily motivated by the reasonable belief that there is an emergency of a health or safety nature, and that the primary motivation should be rendering aid. Under the exigent circumstances exception, generally that requires frequently probable cause to believe that a crime has occurred. The emergency aid exception does not require probable cause. However, probable cause does not prohibit one from utilizing the emergency aid exception. As we know, there are frequently cases where both apply, where we have both probable cause to believe that a crime has occurred and reason to believe for the safety of people in the home and therefore needing to go in. But the primary distinction is that the primary purpose under the emergency aid exception cannot be a criminal investigation, whereas under the exigent circumstances exception, I would say one example there would be if there is a burglary, potentially ongoing burglary, where the officers know for certain that there is no one in the home in need of aid, no one in the home harmed, but they know that there is a suspect still in the home.
A fleeing felon,
that they could go in to arrest that person. There are some cases that would suggest the emergency aid exception can be used to protect property as well as people, but in many cases they would say, I think, that only the exigent circumstances would apply there. Of course, as a matter of fact, as many cases note, in most cases of an ongoing burglary, you don't know for sure that there's no one who needs aid, which is why frequently both the emergency aid exception and the exigent circumstances exception are discussed in those cases, as well as in domestic violence cases.
Well, thank you. Well said.
It would appear that the record issues we're raising would be easily have been resolved by having Faye testify or any other of the family members.
That would appear to be the case. I know frequently, as a practical matter, getting a civilian in twice in a trial, both to testify and for a pretrial hearing, can pose some difficulties. I think in this case, the record the state established was sufficient. While we might wish there were a little more, the record provided by the officers was sufficient to establish that both the emergency aid and the exigent circumstances exceptions did apply here.
Well, we don't have any evidence that anybody was hurt.
Unfortunately,
we don't have any evidence that anyone was in the basement with him when they opened the door, and we'll leave the door alone for a moment. He's standing 20 feet away. He does not appear to be armed, and there's no one in the line of sight.
But we don't need evidence that someone was actually hurt. The court needs to focus on what the officers knew at the time and not what turned out in retrospect to be the case.
I'm just saying what they saw. What they knew was there were other people in the house potentially, and he's standing in a hallway in front of them staring at them. There's nothing else in sight to give them a clue of anything other than he's staring at them and not answering the question.
Yes, but I would point out they've actually already entered the house at that point. He's not in view when they immediately enter. The officers testified that they stepped inside the threshold, and then Mr. Saifan came out of a room into the hallway, and at that point, the entry has occurred. So what we need to look at is what did they know at that moment that they crossed the threshold? Because once they're already inside and he comes out, he's not following commands to come up to them. He, for all they know, has every ability to run upstairs where other family members are. They do know that family members are in the house.
So the measure for us should be, were they entitled to open the door and step across the threshold before he stepped out into view?
I believe that is the correct inquiry.
Okay. I thought the record indicated they opened the door, stayed outside, called to him, and then when he stepped into view, they entered.
No, I believe the record and the findings indicate that they stepped across the threshold. He came into view. He had his hands up initially, and then they tried to get him to come in to minimize their entry into the house for their own safety, and only did what was necessary to then get him under control to prevent him from getting a weapon, fleeing to another part of the house, and then removed him from the house immediately, and then the investigation proceeded from there once the scene was safe.
Minor point here before you sit down. I think the rules require that the finding, or they say should, be findings of fact should be attached to the brief. And in this case, I don't think they were. And I just mention this because it's a great help to the court, whichever party it is that is, you know, submitting the findings, or the first party that has them should attach them, because it makes it much easier to review.
Thank you very much. I will note that. I was not the person who filed the brief, but I will absolutely note that in the future. Thank you.
Okay.
First of all, I agree with Ms. Guthrie regarding the facts of this case. We're looking at entry was made into the home prior to Mr. Siphon sticking his head coming out into the hallway. And you need to look at what the officers subjectively and objectively reasonably believed at that point when they entered the house before they'd seen him. And I think if you look at all of their actions and what they knew at that time, there is no basis to find that they were motivated to go into the house for any reason other than to simply arrest Mr. Siphon for harassment because he threatened his sister and her unborn baby. That's why they entered. As this court correctly notes, there is no...
It's not a reasonable inference that if he's threatened them with a knife or threatened to kill, that they can go in to prevent the threat from being carried out.
Well, I think if you look at what Officer Besler knew, he knew that there had been prior problems with Mr. Siphon before. But if you look at all those contacts he had, there's never any actual violence by Mr. Siphon. He makes these threats, he tosses, he stabs the earth, but he never actually hurts anybody. He just acts crazy. That's why the day before they came and they took him to Harborview. And there was no issue there. Here we're talking about they came in with, we're going to arrest him, we have to take him into custody. And that's what finding of fact 15 states, in fact, determined the defendant needed to be taken into custody. In other words, they needed to arrest him. You've no evidence that anybody else was in contact with the officers prior to them entering besides Faye. There is no indication that the officers had any reason to believe that any of the family members that were upstairs in the house were hurt or being threatened or anything like that. If you look, the emergency aid exception is for, allows for a warrantless entry when the motivation is there to help somebody who is imperiled, their personal injury, or they're going to die, or something like that. And the exigent circumstances exception applies, and they're very similar. But in that case, the motivation has to be, look, if we don't act quickly, we're likely going to lose information. Either we're going to lose the felon because he's going to flee, or we're going to lose evidence and not be able to prosecute him and that sort of thing. They don't have that. The exigent circumstances doesn't apply here because there's nothing that they needed to worry about.
It doesn't apply to secure him to make sure that he is not, in fact, attacking someone in one of the rooms in the basement. Or
if they had any reason to believe that he was doing so in the basement, then maybe it would have been, but they didn't. And it's simply the state failing to make the record in this case.
I'm trying to be clear that the fact that there are other people in the house, mm-hmm. have been on the other calls that they've been out, mm-hmm. that there is a threat to kill, that they're not entitled to secure him pending a determination or verification of...
Without more, they're not allowed to enter the house to arrest him unless they have a warrant. They can ask him to come out. They could arrest him. They could go in and check with the other people or have the other people come out, but they couldn't go in. We protect the private home. We give it more protection under the Constitution than anywhere else. And in
so
this,
you would make them go around to the front door and ask Faye, now can I go in?
Faye was outside.
Well,
when the police
were knock on the door and ask the parents,
sure.
if they can come in.
Yes.
And then go down, and anything that happened in the meantime.
If they'd gotten consent to enter the areas that they were allowed to enter, then I wouldn't be here arguing this. But they didn't get consent, and they didn't have a warrant, and neither of the exceptions applied. This is a problem. The state may have been able to make its record. It simply didn't. That's that this court find they went in to arrest him. That was their sole purpose. That wasn't a good enough purpose under the circumstances, and reverse and suppress the drug evidence.
Thank you, Counsel.